This is the Jason Burma Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
Good evening. This is Joe Hoft live from the state of Florida here in the United States of America. I'm glad you're here with us. Glad to be here. Glad to be filling in for Jason again tonight. Appreciate it, the opportunity, and just really impressed with TNT, how far they've come. Really amazing stuff. It's around the clock, 24 hours, and great shows, great information. If you want the truth, you're going to get it here. You're certainly going to get it here at Jason's show over the next 2 hours. So be with you for 2 hours. Can't wait to introduce a couple of our guests. We've got a lot to talk about. A lot going on in the United States, that's for sure. And just a lot going on. One thing I should probably start with, and I thought about this, thinking about what to discuss tonight. Well, I tell you, there's one thing. I brought it up last night. It was the fact that the Gateway Pundit yesterday had announced that it filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. And of course, maybe if many of you know that it's my twin brother James and myself have done a lot to build that outfit. And it's Jim founded it some 20 years ago, a big site. When I came back full time in 2020, we went from 500,000 hits a day to 5 million hits a day after the election. We were just knocking it out of the park. And there's a lot of people that enjoy the Gateway Pundit. And Jim wrote a piece a couple nights ago, you know, announcing that this was going to happen. And what I noticed today, and I wrote about it at joehoft.com, the way that the media, this nasty, evil, disgusting lying media, the way they've portrayed it. And here's a couple examples. For example, NPR, National Public Radio, which is an entity that's funded by the U.S. government. They came out and they said the Gateway Pundit, an influential website that regularly peddles falsehoods and conspiracy theories, has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. They go on to mention a couple of lawsuits mentioned me and Jim and the Gateway Pundit and how we're involved in those lawsuits. They don't mention that Protect Democracy, this nonprofit, which is a scam because they have one purpose, that's to hurt conservatives. They are representing at least two individuals in Georgia, a mother-daughter team. And this Protect Democracy was created by a bunch of White House Obama attorneys. Their whole purpose after exiting the White House in 2017 was to, you know, make life hell for conservatives. And that's what they do. And that's what they've done with Trump. That's what they've done for years. And here they are behind this one lawsuit against us. We did nothing wrong. We still believe that. Absolutely. We reported the truth. But you can't report the truth in this day and age. I've noticed, too, the censorship's really kicking up. I've talked to some other people. If you think you've been censored, chances are you are. I had a video of me sent to me today. And by the way, it was deleted from YouTube. So I was like, wow, here we go again. They're going to start ramping up the censorship. CNN talked about this this event with Gateway Pundit, said the notorious far-right blog and prolific publisher of conspiracy theories. Of all places, think about it. CNN, this entity that's just so disgusting and so dishonest and so just disgusting. I remember from when Cuomo was there, the brother of New York's governor, and he says with the Hillary Clinton emails, you cannot look at them. It would be illegal for you to look at these emails, but you can trust us and we will give you what's in there. We will let you know. Well, of course, that was a lie. That was so disgusting. But it said everything what these guys are all about. They don't want you to go anyplace but to them for the information. And the problem is they cannot control us all. They try. They're doing everything they can through social media, through all sorts of platforms, through the internet. And the problem is they've underestimated the truth. It's not just us, but it's the truth. We seek the truth. And we're not going to let them, it's a God-giving thing. We're not going to let them take it away from us. We've codified what God gave us in these great amendments in the U.S. Constitution, and we're going to fight for them. And so they can't stop us. And And I just found that just disgusting how these entities that talked about Mueller exam as if it was legit while we were just tearing it apart. It was so criminal and so corrupt. And COVID, how they said, we're all going to die at first. We must wear masks. We must be separated. All this, you know, bogus stuff. You need to shut down your businesses. All the stuff that harmed so many people. CNN was pushing it like, and NPR, like that was their job. And I think it is. And it's amazing how many of these publications have the same wording and verbiage when they talk about this action by the Gateway Pundit. It's just so disgusting. This is what we're dealing with today. But that's the way it is. And that's okay. We're going to keep fighting for the truth. We're going to keep moving forward. And we cannot be stopped here at TNT Radio. Or the Gateway Pundit, or JoeHoff.com, wherever it might be, we're going to stand for the truth.
Be a part of the conversation.
I want representation I can trust.
Have your say.
Biden isn't doing enough.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yeah, Biden's not doing enough. That's an understatement of the universe, isn't it? Got a good friend with us now who was with us again last night, Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus. Welcome, Adam. Welcome to the Jason Burma Show with Joe Hoft again. Glad you're here. I see you've got a couple great segments that you want to share tonight again. This first one here deals with a story involving a ban on menthol-flavored cigarettes. And unfortunately, don't smoke anymore, and I never did really like menthol, so it's not impacting me too bad, but I'm anxious to hear what you have to say.
Well, there are a large amount of people who do enjoy smoking menthol cigarettes, and I think that's what it is at issue here. So yes, today, Friday, the Biden administration announced it's going to delay their potential ban on the menthol-flavored cigarettes and cigars. They're saying, Joe, of course, that they need more conversation around this before they can finalize the ban. They want to weigh the costs and benefits of this, you know, alarming health issue, and it is a health issue. But I'm curious about the timing, and I'm not the only one. This is, of course, an election year. Is the president just trying to appeal to black voters? Who knows? We shall see. I mean, there was a poll in November that found a majority of quote-unquote core Biden voters actually opposed this ban. Oh, what is a core Biden voters? And 54% of them, by the way, they are defined as minority voters or non-conservative white voters under 45. They oppose the proposed ban. That's according to the polling that was done by Democratic pollster Cornell Belcher, and it was commissioned by Altria Tobacco. As Zero Hedge put it, the so-called party of science has decided to abandon its plan to save millions of lives of mostly African-American youth by choosing not to ban these things. I wonder why we're doing this now. Regardless, this is a statement coming from U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra in a statement April 26th, quote, "This rule has garnered historic attention, and the public comment period has yielded an immense amount of feedback, including from various elements of the civil rights and criminal justice movement. It's clear that there are still more conversations to have, and that will take significantly more time," end quote. Menthols make up more than 30% of annual cigarette sales in the United States, and as I indicated, are used predominantly by Black as well as Latino smokers. In fact, roughly 81% of Black adults who smoke cigarettes use menthol varieties. That's according to, take this with a grain of salt, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Yeah, the CDC. White House officials have held dozens of meetings with groups who oppose the ban, including civil rights activists, business owners, etc. And some have suggested that the ban could suppress President Biden's turnout among Black voters. Sabrina Fulton, mother of the late Trayvon Martin, on X posted, quote, "I am pleased that the Biden administration understands the civil rights harms that could result from a menthol ban in the Black community. I look forward to working with the Biden administration toward effective prevention solutions as it relates to smoking in our great country," end quote. However, not all Black voters appear to share that opinion. NAACP President Derek Johnson said, quote, "In an election year, politicians should be prioritizing people, not profiteers. Today's news from the Biden administration is a blow to the Black community, who continue to be unfairly targeted and unjustly killed by big tobacco," end quote. Criticism of the decision is actually emerging from within President Biden's own party. Representative Robin Kelly, Democrat from Illinois, chairwoman of the Congressional Black Caucus Health Brain Trust, released a statement saying she was, quote unquote, "deeply disappointed" in the FDA's decision to abandon what she saw as a, quote, "common sense plan which could have saved hundreds of thousands of lives," end quote. She said Black Americans' increased use of menthol cigarettes contributed to the disproportionate suffering in the Black community from tobacco-related diseases and reaffirmed her commitment to, quote, "curb the harmful impacts of tobacco on communities of color and ensure that health equity is at the center of federal public health policy," end quote. Yeah, so there are a lot of interesting things in this story, Joe, but I mean, come on, it is what it is. It really does look like Joe Biden could care less whether or not a young Black person dies and cares more about whether or not they're going to vote for him in the upcoming election. But what do you think about it?
Well, you know what thought hits my mind as you're reading through this? Democrats are the most racist individuals on this earth. They've always been the most racist. This is former slave owners. They started the KKK. They look at Blacks differently than we do. They look at Blacks as people that do certain things, act certain ways, et cetera, group them. And that's what they've been doing for centuries. And to me, it's disgusting. And I could read right through that. I thought, well, they don't want to hurt Blacks. They don't want to hurt the Black vote. It's like, does every Black man or woman smoke menthol cigarettes? I mean, what do these people think? You know, and it blows your mind. And I think that's why more and more Blacks Black Americans are saying, kind of done with this stuff. You know, we're kind of done. We kind of like to be with somebody that maybe treats us like people and not just a group of individuals who used to be slaves. And that's exactly how I think the Blacks are treated by the Democrat Party. It's just disgusting to me in every way.
Yeah, and it reminds me so much of this. It reminds me of this idea where both sides of these arguments are kind of wrong and the real issue gets lost in the middle. I mean, it's kind of interesting that Trayvon Martin's mother was the one making sense out of all of this, saying that there needs to be some common sense, you know, prevention solution to smoking in general. The government doesn't have the right to come out and just ban things. Okay, so that's a problem, number one. But then again, look, he's stepping all over himself, falling down the stairs, Joe, with this one. I mean, because it looks bad. It looks really bad. And I don't think he did himself any justice by making this decision right now, unfortunately.
Well, yeah. And you know what? There, too, is a clue. Trayvon Martin, his mom. And remember, Barack Obama comes up. If I had a son, he'd be just like Trayvon. Trayvon had all sorts of issues. The guy, I believe, was scoping out a neighborhood when he got killed to burglarize it, is what we believe. And he said that about Trayvon Martin. And people are saying, wait a minute, this guy beat somebody up who was saying stop when he was out scoping some neighborhood. And the whole thing was a mess and it looked terrible. So here we have Trayvon Martin's mother, who we haven't heard about her for a long time. Now she's being used as a puppet by the Democrats, as a tool, not because they care, in my opinion, because it's all about politics, it's all about pretending, it's all about votes. And really, I just find Democrats vile right now with all the stuff that's going on. They have given up the Constitution and pretty much everything else. And like you said, this isn't even constitutional. How can they even do that? It's beyond belief. This is socialism at the minimum. So, final thoughts?
final thoughts are, and all of this, we're still not going to investigate the jabs. Come on, people. If we're so worried about the Black community, we would probably want to start there. Just saying. Thanks for having me, Joe.
Yeah, just saying. Well, just saying. Great point. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll see you in the next hour, but I appreciate you being here, Adam. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back here on the Jason Berman Show.
TNT's Mark Morano.
This is a story that has no really boundaries, because you can't look at this and say, oh, well, Biden's under law is prescribed these powers. Once you declare an emergency, they do whatever they want. It takes the federal court system in the United States years to stop them. I've used the example before, the CDC telling landlords they can't evict renters. The Centers for Disease Control, CDC, forcing mask mandates on planes, trains, automobiles, completely unconstitutional, unauthorized, beyond their purview. It was eventually stopped, but nearly 2 years after it started, wreaking havoc on travel across the United States.
Mark Morano on today's News Talk, TNT.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
TNT. Good for fans of justice and truth. Today's News Talk. TNT.
Hey, this is Joe Hoff. We're back, and thanks so much for listening in tonight. We got a great show. We are gonna bring in, I think, one guy that's worked so hard since the 2020 election to help fix things in the great state of Wisconsin. He has been something really special, and he sends out notes, emails to massive amount of people in Wisconsin that he's got on his mailing list, updating people of all the great things that are happening, congratulating people, asking people and notifying them, hey, here's a big meeting. We're going to need you there. And he always gets great turnouts. And he's been sharing his notes and messages with me and my brother Jim at the Gateway Pundit. And we try to share them every time we get him, because he's just on top of everything. And because of him and a lot of people there, but great people that have worked with him, they've been able to fix a number of things since that really broken election of 2020. So it's my pleasure and honor to introduce to you Mr. Jefferson Davis.
Hey, Joe.
Jefferson,
thanks for
welcome.
Hey, thanks, Joe. It's good to be on your program tonight.
Jefferson, you're a gentleman, and really appreciate you being here. The thing that grabbed me for a long time about you, though, is I was thinking, this guy's name is Jefferson Davis. Isn't that the name of the guy who ran the Confederacy during the Civil War? Could this really be this guy's name? And I finally got to meet you, and you filled me in. And actually, there's a story behind that as well, and probably in the naming of you, but also in Wisconsin, that Jefferson Davis was there 100-some years ago. Anyways, you want to tell us about that real quick?
Sure. 60-second version. I'm a twin, like you and your brother, Jim. And when mom and dad had us in 1958, they only had one name picked out for a boy and one name picked out for a girl. And when two boys came out, they thought, oh boy, what do we do now? So I got the name Jefferson Davis, and mom and dad lived in a town called Portage, Wisconsin, which is very near the state capital of Madison. In 1828, at the age of 20, a young lieutenant from West Point by the name of Jefferson Davis was sent to the territory of Wisconsin and served under Zachary Taylor, who was stationed in Pré de Chien, a French community on the Mississippi River, where the Wisconsin River fed into the Mississippi. On the opposite end of the territory was a fort called Fort Howard in Green Bay, another French community, and they needed a fort halfway between the army. So halfway between Fort Howard in Green Bay and Fort Crawford in Prairie du Chien was this little area named after the Winnebago Indians, Fort Winnebago. And Jefferson Davis helped build Fort Winnebago starting in 1828, served for 4 years in that area under Zachary Taylor, and fought in the Black Hawk War of 1832 against the Sauk Indian tribe. And the Northern Illinois Militia were called out to serve side by side with the enlisted men. And there was a 24-year-old Northern Illinois Militia by the name of Abraham Lincoln. And Davis and Lincoln fought in that war together. And 29 years later, in 1861, at the age of 53, they became the United States of America president and the Confederate States of America president, all in the backyard of my mom and dad's farm.
Oh my God. That's it. Now I got to ask you, did you read that or did you share that from memory?
Well, no, I just shared that from memory.
Oh, fantastic. I love history, especially stuff about Abraham Lincoln, and what is the coincidence of that? Anyways, fascinating story. You shared that with me when we met, I guess that was maybe in Springfield at Mike Lindell's event this year. And it's been an honor. And like I said, you've been working so hard in Wisconsin. You've dedicated so much of your time and energy to help fix the state's election problems, because after 2020, it was a mess. And maybe you can tell us a bit about yourself and then how you got involved with this, if you don't mind.
Sure, I would be happy to. So my day job, I have my own business. I work under the umbrella of estate planning, and I work with family and small business estates from three perspectives: when you're living, when you pass away, and then pass it on to the next generation. I make sure that your legal issues, your tax issues, and your asset issues are set up from those three perspectives, and you never have to worry about guardianship. You never have to worry about long-term care or healthcare costs bankrupting you, and you never run out of money. So I get to do that during the day for my clients. But then after the 2020 November election, we in Wisconsin thought our Republican legislature in the Assembly and the Senate would do something about the obvious election fraud from November of 2020 that clearly affected the outcome of the 2020 election in Wisconsin, and then the 10 Electoral College votes were certified and given to Joe Biden. 10 months after the election, in August of 2021, the retired Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark formed a nonprofit organization called Rise Up Wisconsin. And one of his key components was to address election integrity and the fraud from the 2020 election, and what could we do about it? And silly me, Joe, and this is no disrespect to the legislature or the Republican Party of Wisconsin, we truly believed that our Republican legislators were going to do something about the 2020 election. And to put that in perspective, in Wisconsin, 22 of our 33 state senators are Republicans. We have a super veto-proof majority. In the Assembly, 64 of the 99 assemblymen are Republicans, and we are two votes short of having a supermajority there, veto-proof. So we just thought by default, by nature, that both bodies would see this for what it was and do something about it. And they didn't.
Wow.
So we went to the rally. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, let me pause a moment, because we're going to take a real quick break. But let's when we come back, let's start filling us in on what happened then. You thought these guys are going to help you, but they didn't. We're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be right back.
And here's the news.
Extra, extra.
TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill.
The recently signed Indo-Pacific Security Supplemental Appropriations Act, initially aimed at enhancing security in the Indo-Pacific to counter China's influence, also includes a provision that could potentially allow the Biden administration to send an additional $4 billion in weapons to Ukraine, Israel, or other locations involved in ongoing conflicts. Russian military forces have targeted a freight train in the Donetsk People's Republic, carrying military supplies from Western countries to Ukraine, as reported by the Russian Defense Ministry.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah. 24/7, 365. We never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
That's a fantastic ad, by the way. You see that picture with Putin with his shirt off riding that horse? I was just thinking, that's either he got punked or he is so powerful, but then nobody felt safe telling him, hey, that really looks bad. So lesson to all dictators, etc. Make sure you have at least one person that can help you with your wardrobe. Anyways, we're back. We're with Jefferson Davis from Wisconsin. Jefferson, you started to say, hey, you got into this after 2020 thinking these Republicans were going to help you. They're going to work with you. We're going to get this thing fixed in the state. So that never happens again, what we saw in 2020. What happened?
So after 10 months after the election, and remember, Wisconsin was supposedly decided by 20,682 votes. I'll come back to that in just a minute. So In August of 2021, retired Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark, through his nonprofit organization, held a rally on the west steps of the Capitol. And my wife and I and her brother, we went there with probably 1,500 to 2,000 other people. Joe, this was in the height of the COVID scare. And we were supposed to be wearing masks and we were supposed to all be dying. And none of us did. We all went to the rally and we listened to the speakers. We listened to the music. It was on the steps of the Capitol. And my wife and I and her brother sat down for lunch on the way home. And I said to them, do you think anything's going to get done today? And they said, no. And I said, well, I know one person out of 5.9 million people in Wisconsin that will do something. And they looked at me and said, please tell us it's not you. And if I said, well, if it's not us, then who? And if it's not now, then when? So what we did then is we met some people at the rally. And these are people that are gifted in five different areas of election administration: cyber, data, financial, legal, and administration. We have people, Joe, as you know, from all walks of life who are willing to volunteer their time. So we put together a state ad hoc committee for all 72 counties. We went to all 72 county Republican parties and said, will you help us get to the bottom of this? And I think 66 of the 72 said yes. Then we built out a statewide email database because we looked at cyber data, financial, legal, and administrative. And then we said, where can we go to get to the bottom of this? And then we identified law enforcement, the legal system, the legislature, lobbying, and then logistically, what does that look like? And then as we built those two areas out, we said, okay, what have we identified that's been taken care of? What have we identified that needs to be worked on right now? And then what still needs to get done? And what we did, Joe, is we built this out and we identified 65 election integrity issues that affected the outcome of the 2020 election. And what we did with those 65 different issues is we identified the issue, under whose auspices does it fall, what's the state statute or state administrative code, what's the status of that issue, and then what's the action plan. And when we come back, if you want me to elaborate now, I can, but that's how we built out the state ad hoc committee, and I can get into more detail at your discretion.
Well, let's go ahead with that. We've got a little bit of time right now. Fill us in. What was next?
So, Joe, I am embarrassed to admit to you and your audience, I thought that I was pretty plugged in. I'm getting pretty long in the tooth. My twin brother just turned 65 years old. So we're getting a little long in the tooth, and we thought we knew a lot and we'd been involved in a lot. Joe, I'll tell your listeners tonight, we were totally ignorant and caught totally off guard by what happened in 2020. But thanks to the good Lord and a lot of people that came on board, including yourselves, you guys have just been the most amazing partners in this relationship. We were able to open the door and look at a number of things, and there were fire hoses coming at us. And we just couldn't believe this was happening in Wisconsin. And I'll go over the top five or six right now. Number one, we had a voter registration system in Wisconsin, Joe, on the Wisconsin Election Commission website called My Vote. We were led to believe that a million people supposedly registered to vote in Wisconsin in 2020 between January 1st and November 3rd. Joe, that's impossible in Wisconsin. We don't have that many people. Here's what we found out. Two major things that we've fixed for 2024. Number one, this is just voter registration. A 565,000 people registered to vote online through the Wisconsin Election Commission website, My Vote, with an illegal voter registration form that asked for your ethnicity and your political party affiliation. Both things are illegal in Wisconsin. We took it to court. A judge ruled in our favor. That voter registration form is no longer used. And what that did, Joe, is that allowed the Democrats to buy the Wisconsin WisVote database consisting of 7.5 million names, even though only 3.6 million were registered to vote. That gave them access to find out what your ethnicity was and your party affiliation, and you were sent an absentee ballot request form. So what we've done to fix that, when we looked at this, we go, okay, something doesn't make sense here. How can all 72 counties in Wisconsin go up by exactly the same percentage for voter registration, and then shortly after the election, come down by the same exact percentage amount? Well, we found out how, and that is there were simply moving names from the 3.9 million extra names over into the 3.6 million registered electors. And so we've closed that loophole down for 2020. That's just one issue, Joe. The second issue that we found out, thanks to the Supreme Court, they ruled in July of 2022, thanks to the work of WIL, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, they took the Wisconsin Election Commission to court, to the Supreme Court of Wisconsin, and said, you're administering elections illegally by Mark Zuckerberg's illegal ballot drop boxes. Joe, we found out from the WisVote data, 1.3 to 1.4 absentee ballots with no chain of custody, with no track record, went into the 573 Mark Zuckerberg drop boxes. And it was so bad in 2020.
1.3, is that 1.3 million?
1.3 million absentee ballots went into Mark Zuckerberg's illegal absentee ballot drop boxes. And it was so bad in Wisconsin, the Supreme Court, in the majority opinion, said because of the Wisconsin Election Commission not following the law and using Mark Zuckerberg's illegal absentee ballot drop boxes, you harmed and you injured all electors, and therefore the results of the 2020 election were illegitimate. Now, people watching your program, and I know they're really smart, go, well, that's a really good story, Jefferson Davis, but why wasn't anything done?
Well, let me because we're going to Jefferson, one sec. We're going to take a real quick break. It'll be, I believe it's our last break, and then we'll come back to that because this is big stuff. They just said that the election in Wisconsin in 2020, it wasn't legit. And how could it have been certified? You know, we'll be right back.
Military families often sacrifice precious time away from loved ones while serving our country. And for those with children, the separation can be especially difficult.
We were worried that with him leaving, that she would lose those connections with her dad.
Some of life's best moments happen between parents, children, and the pages of a good book. United Through Reading provides that connection.
You can watch your mom or dad read a book to you, and it almost feels like they're really there.
We ensure they remain a consistent, meaningful part of their children's lives, no matter the distance.
Just seeing Jacob recognize Daddy again after a long time just melted my heart.
And now, as we're facing greater isolation from our loved ones, United Through Reading is also available to veterans. Learn more about United Through Reading and download our free secure app at unitedthroughreading.org.
¿Qué color? Perfecto, mijo.
Gracias. Thank you.
What's wrong, mijo?
Donating to a pet's medical care is one of the many ways you can help families in your community. Pets and people belong together. Learn more at petsandpeopletogether.org.
This is the Jason Burma Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
Hey, we're back. This is Joe Hoft. Jefferson Davis, we're not able to connect with him properly, so he's going to join us at another time. Fantastic, great guy. Done so much work in Wisconsin to help save the election there. Just brilliant, brilliant guy. Great communicator, gentleman. And so, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to finish that discussion. There's a lot more what happened in Wisconsin and what his group did to help save that election. But we'll approach that another day. But right now, we've got with us someone who you may all know, a host here at TNT, Timothy Shea. Timothy, welcome.
Thanks, Joe. Great to be on with you, as always.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we were just talking during the break you came on, you know, just kind of, we all seem to have white hair now, and and I think I used to have hair like you as well as a kid, more would turn orangey for sure, both Jim and I. And so anyways, get that white pale skin with it as well. Welcome.
Yeah, you know, just thanks slide one pasty old white guy in for another, right?
Yeah, that's right. People don't know Jefferson Davis looks just the same.
Modular.
We could have kept going and just said, "Hey, I'm Jefferson Davis." Just talk. Oh, we got it working. Nobody'd really know. But no, thanks for being here.
He's doing such great work, though. We really need it up in Wisconsin. And Joe, you know, the United States Constitution clearly derogates power to run elections to the states, and yet Joe Biden is running roughshod over the Constitution, like they do every day. Whenever I say Joe Biden, of course, I'm talking about the communists running our government. He can't run himself. But in fact, did you see the Secret Service had to surround him today and run interference for the cameras so that the cameras didn't see him shuffling off to Marine One by himself today?
Is that right? Is that the new?
Yeah, it was really sad.
I saw
really
that they're trying to cover it up. And that's part of the Secret Service's job, is to cover up for people when they're broken. I remember, do you remember 9/11 in 2016, what Hillary did?
Oh yeah.
Do you remember that?
In fact, I'm proud to say that I got one of my 30-day bans on Facebook, because in the year after that, I posted a picture of her shoe there on the pavement.
Yeah.
And I said, never, you know, hashtag never forget.
9/11. That was something. For people that don't know, Hillary was at a 9/11 memorial ceremony, and she was having these spasms. I'll tell you this. I wrote a piece on it, and we were starting to realize there's something going on. There's this doctor that's with her all the time. He's got this injector thing. What is going on? And she was having seizures, and we wrote about it. To this day, that corrupt mainstream media will say that we were not telling the truth on that. Absolutely, we were. And on 9/11, she had to get up, walked over to the curb. This van pulls up, the black van screams up. They open the doors. She locks up. She locks up like a 2x4. She had a lady with her who we found out later was a doctor. They threw her in that van, took off, and one of her shoes still on the pavement. Another car pulls up, like you just mentioned. Picked that shoe up, a couple Secret Service guys, and took off. They all took off. They said they went to the hospital. who knows? Who knows what was going on? They weren't being honest about her at all.
And then someone who sort of kind of looked like her, but not really, showed up full of vim and vinegar few hours later. It was all
playing
very
catch
suspicious.
With the little kid.
Yeah, yeah, but this, Joe, this was right a few weeks after she staggered down those steps. Remember, she had to be supported by both her left arm and her right coming down the steps. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
Here's one thing I know for certain. We have no idea what's really going on in the world.
Well, that's it. And I could tell you a couple things, though. One, I wrote a piece. I was looking at her rallies and Trump's rallies, and I noticed she's taking the weekends off. We wrote that up. Drudge Report had that the top story in the country, in the world at that time. Pretty proud of that. Some guy who's in Hong Kong. But another thing that I've learned, there's Ann Dorn, whose husband was the police chief in St. Louis, who you may recall was gunned down in a Black Lives Matter event later in 2020. He was a former police chief. He went to a friend's pawn shop and got killed. She shared with me she was on duty for Hillary in 2016 when she came to town for the debate, the Trump debate with her. And she said that nobody could see her. They pulled up her car to this hotel downtown, and they built a shelter of like maybe, let's say, black cloth around it that they could move her into immediately from her car. Nobody could see her then. And then they even had that, she said, up in the hallways on the floor that she was at. So nobody could see her. And of course, I think it was because she was being wheeled around in a wheelchair. Nobody knew that.
Well, look how long they kept the fact that that FDR was in a wheelchair from us. Look how long they kept the fact that Woodrow Wilson was basically a comatose state from a stroke, and his wife was the acting president of the United States. So this is nothing new. But getting back to the elections, several GOP lawmakers in various states have gone to the Supreme Court now, and they want the Supreme Court to rule, hey, Joe Biden has no authority to run our elections. We as state officials, the Constitution gives the right to run the elections to the states, and both explicitly and under the 19th Amendments. Mm-hmm. And we might get a good result out of SCOTUS on this.
Hope so. I mean, they've been, there was a big case in Maryland here. I'm talking to some guys, a guy by the name of Harry Hari and Marley Hornick. They've working together. They proposed a case against Maryland, the first case that they were going to do across the country. I don't know if they're still going to do it. And just yesterday, it got kicked out for no standing. How about that? But their whole complaint was these elections are not complying with U.S. law. There's a HAVA Act that the federal government put in place that here are the things in regards to your systems that you have to have in place. And we're not complying with that. We're not complying with state laws. And he's got all sorts of information, just the voter rolls alone, which we just did talk about with Jefferson Davis. They're all bloated. There's all these names in there that aren't even real people. And he's saying because of that.
1.2 million in Texas alone.
1.2, yeah. Yeah, I know a guy who's been working on that. Chris Jersky went there, found 300, almost 400,000 in the Houston out of that number. It's outrageous what's going on. Go ahead.
I was going to say Pennsylvania is another state that's got over 625,000 voter registrations that they can't identify. They can't match them up to real people. But you know who bothers me the most in Pennsylvania, Joe? These butthurt never Trumpers that are still voting for Nikki Haley in the Pennsylvania primary this week. 60,000 people voted for Nikki Haley. That's, you know, Joe Biden won the state allegedly by 40,000 after all the shenanigans in 2020. What are these people thinking, Joe?
Yeah, it's amazing. That's amazing. Or can Democrats cross the line and vote in the Republican primary? I don't know.
You know, I don't know.
But we're seeing that.
But that opens up another problem, okay? Why aren't these GOP, state GOP committees closing down their primaries? I'm sorry.
How about it?
The Yankees don't get to decide who the Red Sox starting pitcher is going to be. That's not how it works.
That's right. That's right. But that's what's going on. It's insane. And I think Trump spoke out to that. What are we doing here? This is so stupid. And course it is. You know, people come in and vote for anybody but Trump or whatever, and it's lunacy. And we just had Jefferson Davis on. He gave me these numbers: 7.5 million people on their voter rolls, 3.6 million people that are eligible voters. So more people on the vote, 3.9 people on the voter roll that are not more than the 3.6 that are real citizens. It's insanity. Yeah,
almost twice as many. And here's the thing. I actually went on. There's a service you can use to check and see if you're registered. So I went to all of my prior addresses, and I'm no longer registered at those addresses. But everybody should check, because people move and they never clean up the voter rolls, and that happens, right? But having two registrations when you've only got one voter, come on.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of shenanigans. We've got a guy I've been working with. His name's Chris Jersky. He's been looking at voter rolls in Florida, Texas, and North Carolina. He's starting to work in Georgia. But he found that the thing is, you can't just do this exercise once and validate the names on the voter roll once, because they're adding names and subtracting names and doing it sometimes within a few weeks period of time. So they'll add a bunch of names, mail out the ballots, and then remove those names after they've been counted or whatever, validated when they come in. So somebody's filling these things out and sending them back in. That's the big question mark. And we don't know who.
I was just going to say, there was a graph recently released showing an uptick, and it was in, I think, they looked at 40 different jurisdictions in the same state, right? And I'm sorry, I can't remember what state it was. But all of a sudden, you saw an uptick in registrations and then a plateau during the voting period. And then right after the election, bam, it went down. And it was a superimposition of 40 of these graphs, Joe, and they were all identical. Putting people on the rolls, people go to vote, and then all of a sudden they take them off the rolls. And with these new little iPads that you sign in to vote, they can literally do it within minutes now, because those iPads, they can tell real time that Joe Hoff signed in to vote. Joe Hoff has voted in the Republican primary for the last three election cycles. So we're assuming that Joe Hoff's going to vote Republican. And that's where the shenanigans can start. Real time.
Well, you're absolutely right. You're spot on. Now, there's a lot of work in that area too. These things just came on since 2020. A lot of those poll pads weren't even in use. And here's something that I thought of with those poll pads. They have you sign your name with your finger. And your signature is not going to match your signature that you signed with a pen. I think that's they strategize that. And what we're finding out, we just found out recently in Georgia, in Fulton County, where they did all this absentee ballot count. So they all came into Fulton County, that they didn't do any signature verifications. So they didn't compare. That's all you really can do. Compare the name on the on the envelope where it comes in, and with the name on that you have the records for, and they need to match. And yet they didn't even do that for hundreds of thousands of votes in Georgia in 2020. It's the big question. I wrote about this in my second book. The big question is two of them. One is, we don't know who filled these out, because we're not checking signature verifications. And two, we don't know where they came from, because there's no chain of custody. These things just landed and there they are. And they were counted, and clearly that's not legal, or, you know, and that's why people are upset.
Well, and they should be. It's not even in the big cities, limited to the big cities. My little town of 3,500 is using those poll pads. And Joe, in 2020, my congressional race was the last one decided. Claudia Tenney went to bed. We went to bed on election night. She was up by like 8,000 votes, and as the counting season progressed, because now we no longer count the votes that night. We have weeks of counting now. And it got down, Joe, to the point where she was up by 11 votes after being up 8,000 on election night. And then somebody actually, they tried to say, oh, we just found 11 ballots in the back of a drawer. And, you know, what, 11 ballots, and they all happen to be for the Democrat? That was too much even for a New York judge that tossed them out and awarded her the race. But, you know, little New York 22 was the last race in the country to be decided. And bam, right after that election, our next election cycle, we've got these poll pads all of a sudden. How about that? 3,500 people in my town, and yet they're concerned to give us the poll pads.
Yeah, I've met her. She's a super, you probably have too. She's super, yeah. Super conservative, super supporter of President Trump. I met her at Mar-a-Lago once, actually. Great, you know, great representative.
Well, great. In 22, they tried to redistrict her out. And so she moved over to New York 24, where her office is. And we got Brandon Williams, who's also a great MAGA Republican.
Great. Well, that's great. A lot of work we still got to do. We've got, and this election coming up here is really concerning. What's got you most concerned, and what do you think are the things that we've that give you most hope?
Oh gosh, the thing that has me most concerned is that they're going to play their Trump card and permanently resolve their Donald Trump program or problem. I hope that it doesn't come to that, but I don't think the Biden White House would scruple at that solution. They're denying Bobby Kennedy Jr. Secret Service protection. 5 times now they've denied it to him. They can't beat Trump in the courts. The cases never should have been brought. They're falling apart because they were garbage to begin with. Everything they try, his popularity just goes up and up. You know, he goes out yesterday talking to some construction workers, and they asked one guy, do you have any words for President Biden? And the guy said, turned to the camera, said, yeah, F you, and walks away.
Yeah.
And he didn't say F you. And, yeah. You know, now Donald Trump's going to have a big rally at Madison Square Garden. He's going to do a big rally for Tina Forte, who's running against AOC. I'm afraid that they're going to, you know, look for a final solution on that one. What gives me the most hope? The intelligence of the average American. Joe, so many people are seeing what's going on. Black people are waking up. Hispanic people are waking up. Even some lifelong Democrats that aren't commiecrats. They're just good old-fashioned union Democrats. I had Joe Flynn on the show last night, and we were talking about this exact thing. He goes, yeah. He goes, everybody's waking up now. The economy's in the toilet. They see what these people in the White House are trying to do to Donald Trump. I really, the thing I have most hope for is that the fundamental fairness of the American citizen is going to win the day.
I do too. I have a lot of hope. We got a lot of work to do, I think, still. But you're right. It's scary times. Scary times. We don't know what sort of COVID or war or whatever it might be. They're already starting with protests right now. We had Black Lives Matter, 4 years ago. And now it looks like we're starting to, same people are getting paid. Same people are paying for this, by the way. I've heard it leads back to Soros. And so we've got the riots starting. So what's going to happen next? Is another pandemic or anything like that as well? I don't know.
Well, and that was my question on X yesterday. You can follow me at The Reckoning TNT. And there was a picture, I took a picture of all those tents up in Columbia, and I said, who paid for the tents? They're all identical. These college kids do not have, 30 identical tents. Who's behind this, Joe?
Yeah, yeah. It's same people. It's the same players. Yeah. And I think it all runs back to George Soros. It's outrageous. Hey, thanks so much for stepping in tonight. Really appreciate it. You look great.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Yeah, so do you. Take care.
Really appreciate you being here. You take good care. We'll catch up with you again soon, anytime. Really enjoy chatting with you. Thank you.
Likewise.
And we're going to take a little break here right now, and then we'll be back in the next hour again, filling in for Jason. And we've got a great guest next hour. Maybe Tim will come back again. I don't know. But thanks, Tim, and thanks everybody for listening. We'll be right back.